Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 72 of the Generic Gaming Podcast.mp3, the podcast where we talk about a new video game every single week. My name is Logan Myrie, and as always, I'm joined by my esteemed co-host and blue hat wearing Eric Krause.
I am wearing a blue hat if you're an audio listener. He's not just making that up.
It has a pineapple on it, Eric.
Yes.
It's a nice hat. I haven't seen you wear this one before.
Yeah, you have.
pulling it out of the old wardrobe.
You've seen me wear this hat before.
Yeah, I think last time one of our professors roasted you.
Yeah, that I didn't. I haven't worn it since.
I think this needs some background information. So the hat has a pineapple on it, yes. Eric. And our professor, what did he think?
So apparently pineapples are an indicator. So if you are a swinger or you are part of a family of swingers, I don't know how swingers work, but a pineapple is a symbol that your house is a swinger household.
I think that's not true. I think he was making that up.
And yeah, I think he either is just making it up to roast me or something. I don't know. Either way, it's kind of weird. Like maybe he was like trying to imply I was a swinger.
Doesn't seem like appropriate classroom talk.
I was in college, so it's fine. I'm not a swinger. If you're a swinger, that's perfectly fine. Do what you want to do. But I am not. If the pineapple is an indicator that I am, let us know.
I don't like
leave a 5-star review and let me know I'm a swinger.
I don't like the concept that pineapples are so like ubiquitous. Mm-hmm. I feel like everyone's wearing pineapple stuff that I don't think that should be the demarcating like.
Does thing. That make SpongeBob the ultimate swinger?
I guess. Yeah, that he was signaling with his entire house.
His entire house, like come in and have sex with me.
I don't think that's what swinger means.
I don't know how swingers work.
Okay. Let's have a little quick. Swingers are people. So you're in a relationship.
Yeah.
A monogamous relationship. But by swinging, you kind of exchange partners, I believe.
So you're not monogamous.
Well, I'm saying that's the whole concept is that you're sort you know.
That was basically an open relationship.
Kind of. But I think an exchange, like one for one.
Them? Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, you have two pairs and you're kind of one for one. I think that's how swinging works.
That's fun.
That's fine. I'm just saying. I just wanted to get that straight, Eric.
Cool.
Anyways, this is a gaming podcast. It always starts out this way, Eric.
I mean, yeah, lately, you know, it's always off the rails immediately to begin with.
I want to know what you've been playing.
What have I been playing? You know, I always think about this because I know how this show starts. I'm like, what
every
have
same
I been
time,
playing?
Same every time.
And so I always do this part to try to fill it, to give myself time to remember. And so what I've been playing is been playing a lot of Risk of Rain 2.
Yeah.
We've been going through, and there's like 3 new characters that came out since I like kind of played last. So
are they fun? Do you like them?
Yeah, we've been going through and unlocking them. Very difficult to unlock characters in Risk of Rain 2 because it is a roguelike, and you kind of have to leave it up to chance. So, one of the characters, when you start a Risk of Rain run, you drop down in this escape pod, and so to unlock one of them, you have to go to the back of the escape pod and you pull a battery from it.
Okay.
And then you have to wear that battery until you get to the 4th stage, which I think it's like Abyssal Depths. But that battery causes, if you go below 50% health, it blows up and you die and rip that run. But you have to bring that battery to this little robot plant dude in the Abyssal Depths that is just anywhere in the Abyssal Depths. So you have to run around and find him. And then once you do that, you can give him the battery and he activates and you unlock that character. For the other character, you have to get Siren's Call, which we did about 3 runs that each lasted an hour and a half before we even finally got that map. And once you get that map, there's like these alloy things that look like Blue Dug Trios, which is literally how I describe them because my friend Jake didn't know what they look like. And I'm like, oh, I found them. They just look like Blue Dug Trios. So he's like, oh, he knew immediately. And I was like, yeah, nice, gamers. So you kill 5 of those and it spawns a boss and you have to kill that boss. Unfortunately, we were late into the run, so it was very difficult at that point.
Oh, okay.
And he had died, and so I had to solo this boss, and it took like 20 minutes to
you
kill
did
this boss.
You did it, though?
I killed the boss, yeah, and we unlocked the character. And I like that character a lot. It was like a melee character, but he has like a grapple ability, and so he's basically like Spider-Man.
Nice.
And then we have not unlocked the 3rd character yet.
What else? Have you been playing anything else?
I just started Shadow of the Colossus.
That was interesting. Last night it was like 11 o'clock, and that's, you know, my bedtime, sleepy time. And I'm like, I'm going to go to bed. And Eric's like, Mom, I think I'm going to start Shadow of the Colossus. And I was like, right now?
Yeah. it's super early for me anyway. The only reason I even started playing this game is because you're like, download the demo. Because we went out last night for a few drinks. And you're like, download the demo. We get back. We can play it. I'm like, okay. So I went and downloaded the Final Fantasy VII Remake demo. And And then our friend Evan is like, oh, what are the PS Plus games for this month? Oh, I'll look. And then it was Shadow of the Colossus and Sonic Adventure Forces 2 Unleashed.
Did you download Sonic?
No, I did not download
Sonic. You should, because we should play that too.
But then also, there was also Shadow of the Colossus. So I'm like, ooh, I'll download this. Or I'll add it to my library. I always add the PS Plus games to my library. I haven't in a while because I don't really turn on my PlayStation anymore. I added it to my library. You know what? I'm like, I'll download this too. And so while we were out, that was downloading. Then we came back, played the demo. You went to bed. Evan left. I'm like, I'm going to jump into Shadow of the Colossus. And man, immediately when I started, the nostalgia hit. And then I'm like, I'm in. I'm playing the rest of this game.
Really? Yeah. That's interesting. I would like to jump back in. Shadow of the Colossus, I had my first experience with on the PS4, like with the remake or whatever.
Yeah.
And I did enjoy it a lot, but I think I would appreciate jumping back into it.
Yeah, I haven't played the game since I played it on PS2. And
really?
So, yeah. And so just like... We'll get into it because we have the whole segment in the later part of the show.
Yeah, we are going to talk about, it is the 20th anniversary of the PlayStation 2, so we're going to talk about PlayStation 2 games that mean something to us or you know, iconic PlayStation 2 moments for us.
Yeah.
Anyways, Eric, I have not been playing a whole lot recently, honestly. Just school and life, and we've been playing a lot of that KeyForge card game and taking photography. I don't know why I couldn't words speak there. Yeah, so I really haven't played a whole lot of games, though. But... Yesterday, I decided that we should download the Final Fantasy VII Remake demo and talk about that, because I do think that this is really interesting. I have not played a lot of demos in my life, I feel like.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I was never, like, downloading demos and stuff to play. And so I just think this is really interesting, and I think it's going to frame the conversation about what we think about the remake. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Before we get into the regular wall, speaking of demos, there is one demo I played a ton of, and I just never bought the game for because I didn't need to, because I could just play the demo when I felt like playing the game, and that was Mafia 2.
Really?
Yeah, because in Mafia 2, the demo allowed you to do the first, like, mission, I think, but you could also just go around in the open world in, like, half of the map, and so I was like, that's all I wanted to do, is just fuck shit up in the half of the map, and so that's all I would ever do, is just run around and do stuff in the open world. I'd never do that mission.
Oh, that's what's up.
And then I never bought it, because
I guess I've played like betas and stuff, which are not demos, right? But they kind of are. They're giving you a taste for what's to come. But yeah, I haven't really played a lot of demos of like, you know, games. Anyways, Final Fantasy VII Remake demo. Game of the show. Getting a little quicker there.
Yeah.
I'm ready to talk about it, Eric. So this is interesting, right? Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 1 demo, right? The game is coming out. It's a remake of a 1998 game, very much beloved. And it's just the first part. It's in Midgar. What do you know about Final Fantasy VII, Eric?
Absolutely nothing, other than it has Claude Strafe and he has a big-ass sword.
Yes, anime guy, big sword.
Yep.
So I knew that Final Fantasy VII was this, like, beloved game. And once I had my beloved Vita, I decided to jump in. And so I bought Final Fantasy VII on my Vita. I was in high school, probably. And I played through probably... 20 to 30 hours of that game.
Dang.
Maybe less. It was maybe less than that. But I put a big chunk. I got out of Midgar. There's like this big casino area. I went to that part and, you know, all this stuff. I met a lot of the characters. But I'd never finished the game. I was really interested in it. It's something about the sort of like tank controls and like the pre-rendered environments and stuff. I found it really hard, and I remember getting like sort of lost at one point. Like I was like, I literally do not know where to go. And it's just one of those things where I kind of lost drive to keep playing. So that's why I'm really interested in this remake, because I think that it's going to take a lot of the stuff that I liked about Final Fantasy VII, which was like the story and like the world, and kind of remove some of the stuff I didn't like the weird controls. And I didn't love the combat. I thought it was like, I'm not a huge turn-based guy, right? Mm-hmm. I tend to find it, like, sort of boring. But I can, like, live with it. You know what I mean? It's good enough. But I found... And we'll get into it a little bit more, but I think that the combat in this game is much more fun. You know what I mean? So you watched me play through this demo. It's about, what would you say, an hour?
Yeah, I think so, around there.
About an hour. I'd say it's a pretty good show. It's like the first, it's basically the opening of Final Fantasy VII, which is this awesome, iconic thing. You know, you're Cloud Strife. You're coming in with this group of people they call Avalanche. They're like eco-terrorists, kind of. And you're going to blow up this big plant. What did you think, Eric? What were your impressions?
Right off the bat, the game's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. Oh my god, dude, that initial cutscene with Aerith, and she's chilling by like a weird pipe. I don't know. And that's not really the important part, but like everything, dude. Her hair's like swaying, mm-hmm. and I was like noting that her like jacket, like they had all these crazy like cloth physics, and I was like, oh my god, dude, this is amazing looking.
I was amazed like this game was like able to run on my PS4. You know?
Yeah, I was surprised because I don't know. You know how like when things are really like, oh man, this is like the graphic fidelity is like insane, right? And I'm like, well, I'm not paying on PC, so it's like probably just gonna look fine anyways on my shit. But it looked amazing.
It was incredibly gorgeous. This game does make me like wish I had like the PS4 Pro to run things like with HDR and like have like an HDR TV and stuff, like, because it was just so pretty to look at. Like,
yeah,
I don't really care about like the story, and I probably won't even play this game, but I'll enjoy watching you play this game because it's so pretty to look at.
Yeah, dude, and even when you get control of Cloud, and like I was like noting like all the like lights reflect off his fucking giant ass sword, and it just looks so cool. And like all these, whenever you do, you know, like fighting damage and stuff, there's all these like crazy particle effects. I just can't even believe the production value on this game seems like absurd.
Mm-hmm. It did the cool thing that video games do now too, where it's like you're in a cutscene and then the camera pans and you're like, oh, I'm playing.
Yeah, no,
and
I'm
like,
playing.
There's like no loading screen. The textures don't really change at all. It still looks just as gorgeous when you're playing.
Yeah, and there's a point in the demo where you can switch in between Cloud and Barrett, like doing combat. And whenever combat is over, it kind of just does this slick thing where it like jumps you back into Cloud. But it never like took. It was never jarring. I felt like it was always like dope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I thought the switching seemed pretty like it made sense. I liked how the combat worked, where it was kind of. It was like hack and slash like kind of turn-based, or not turn-based, like strategy. That's what
yeah. So I played through the only Final Fantasy game I've ever actually beaten, which I know that this is absolute blasphemy. Like I know if anyone cared enough to put me on blast, they would put me on blast. I've only ever beaten Final Fantasy 15. And the combat is sort of like Final Fantasy 15 because they moved to Final Fantasy 15 specifically moved to more of a an action real-time, you know, hack and slash kind of thing, right? And the thing that was weird about that game though is that you had all these party members, but you weren't controlling them. You were just kind of ordering them around, and you were always playing as Noctis. What I think this game does that's really interesting is, one, it adds more layers, I'd say, to the combat. In Final Fantasy 15, it was kind of weird because you didn't even button mash. You kind of just held down like square or X or whatever it was, and like he just did the combat. It was weird. And then, you know, you could do other things from there. But in this game, it is more like, you know, square, whatever. But what's fun is that you can also switch in between Cloud and Barrett, and they obviously have different fighting styles, which makes it a lot more interesting. And there's this, you know, you press X and it kind of freeze frames and time like slows down. It doesn't totally stop, but it's like slows down. And you have the chance to like use items or cast spells or, you know, use like abilities. Like Cloud's, you know, he's got this thrust ability where he, you know, goes forward and, you know, thrusts his big Buster Sword and it looks dope. And I just feel like I can see this game adding all these like crazy layers and combat getting really complicated and like you have to be very strategic. And I think it's going to be really satisfying to play that way,
especially once you have a bigger party and more people to choose from to fight with.
Yeah, because I mean, if I remember correctly, I mean, you at any time you had like a party of four.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been three, but I think it was four. So that's like, I mean, that's a lot of characters to switch in between and take care of. And even, you know, in that last the boss fight of the demo, which is, I don't really remember the character's name, but it's like a big scorpion metal thing. And you're fighting it, and I constantly had to be like, okay, what's everyone health at? You know, we need to do this, you know, get his shield down so that Barrett can hit him with the thunder. And, mm-hmm. and it did kind of feel very strategic. It felt like a real-time version of what I was doing in Final Fantasy VII, the original.
Yeah, I did like that it kind of almost forces you to switch between the characters, because then, like, kind of type advantage things, like, mm-hmm. certain moves do better. Because, like, in Dragon Age Inquisition, you have, like, a whole party you could switch between, but yeah. I was like, I never need to, like, why don't I just play my character the whole time?
Yeah, and also, Dragon Age had that kind of thing where you could pull out and do, like, the strategy stuff, but I also just never really felt the need to do that.
Yeah, I never felt the need to do that, and, like, I could just go through and play it. And so this game's kind of cool because it feels a lot like how in Spider-Man, it's just, you're kind of slow down time to change abilities and, like, do stuff. Like,
yeah.
It's not, like, meant to pull away from the combat, it's just so you could do stuff and look cool. I
yep.
feel like
yeah, it was like, oh, cast a spell and he does it, and you're like, oh, I heal up, and then, you know, there was also a little bit of like limit breaks. That was a big thing in Final Fantasy VII, where you're building this limit meter and then you could, you know, do a huge attack, and that was sort of present in this. I only did it once, I think, but it did look sweet.
It did look cool, yeah.
Another thing I thought was pretty interesting about the combat is that Cloud had this, his thing was that he had kind of had two combat modes where if you press triangle, he would put into, it was called Punisher mode. And in that mode, you could, like counter attacks, I think. And whenever you would press square, instead of doing kind of a light attack, he would do like a crazy, like kind of his side B and smash move. It was so cool, dude.
Yeah. He was just slower, but he hit harder.
Yeah, I'm totally into it. I think that all the voice actors sound great. One thing I actually noticed is the character Wedge, who's this kind of side character. He's just like part of Avalanche. I was like, that guy sounds so familiar. Who the fuck is that? And so right before this podcast, I looked it up and I was like, no way, dude. I knew who that guy was. It's the dude from Breaking Bad. I know you've never seen it, but it's Badger from Breaking Bad, who's like one of the best characters in that show. He's like this like great stoner dude. And I was like, I was so geeked out about it.
I mean, is that character like in a large part of Final Fantasy VII,
or
is
he? No, I mean, not really. I just thought, like, I don't know, man. Isn't it always like kind of weird when you just like recognize voice actors from other things too, like not even video games. Like,
yeah, that's true. I guess would you do it too? Because you're bad at noticing
voices. I am. I'm super bad at noticing voices, but I was like, oh, he sounds so familiar because he has this iconic, like, sort of raspy voice.
Oh, okay.
So it's very good. Anyways, yeah, the story seems super, obviously it's, you know, a similar story from, Final Fantasy VII, and by similar, I mean a literal remake. You know, you're kind of this mercenary guy, Cloud Strife. Avalanche hires him to help them, you know, blow up this big power plant because they're pulling, Mako. I always thought it was Mako, but in the game they said Mako, so I was like, sure, I'll go with that. The power plants create, you know, pulling Mako and stuff, which is like what they use to power all their shit. And Avalanche is sort of this like eco-activism, terrorism, or whatever you want to call it, group who is trying to blow up this plant because obviously they're like killing the planet by doing this. And so you're coming in and Cloud's like, I don't give a shit. This is just for money. And Barrett's like, can't you hear the world's crying? And you're like, well, I can't, but it's kind of sick that you can.
I don't think he says kind of sick that you can. He's like, I think you should get that looked at.
No, yeah, he does. It was kind of funny because he's like, I think you should get checked out. But, yeah. But in my brain, I was like, can you really hear them crying? That's kind of sweet. Anyways, I totally, you know, this is voice acted, which Final Fantasy VII wasn't. I totally liked all the characters. I think Barrett's super cool. He's got a fucking gun for a hand, which is always like the dopest thing.
Is it?
I always do. I always think,
you know,
I can't name any off the top of my head, but I always think that people who have like in games or movies or anime or whatever, when they have like a weapon for a hand, I'm like, that's cool. I know it's impractical.
It just seems super impractical.
Yeah, no, right. Cause you know, he's got to like eating things with two hands is impossible.
Yeah.
Like, but for the sake of combat, very cool.
I guess he's kind of a big dude. He's got big hands. So like, I guess one hand could do it. I guess you make do, right?
Yeah, you'd make do. And also you got, you know, he could probably eat with the gun hand. Who knows?
You just shove his gun hand into it, lick it off.
Yeah, he, who knows? I don't want to talk about the logistics.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, so are,
it
really.
How does he fire it? Like, how, what's it connected to that makes it fire?
I just don't think about it too much, Eric. It's fine. It's connected to his body. He's just shooting the gun. It's fine.
Okay.
So did this make you interested at all? Really? I mean, what, you weren't interested in the story at all?
Nah,
about
not
the
really.
Saving the planet or?
No, not really. I'm interested to see you play it. Like, again, the game's pretty. The combat looked fun. I just don't care.
Damn, all right. I'm surprised, Eric. I don't know, because it's not an open world thing. It's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't know. It seems, it's just not the type of game I like playing.
You just hate JRPGs.
Yeah, I kind of do. Well, I don't hate them. I like Persona 5. That's a JRPG. Never beat it, though. I would say I hate JRPGs.
I just want you to defend yourself. Why, Eric?
I just don't, like, I'm just not interested in Final Fantasy at all. Like, the world, the things that are going on, the characters,
here's
all seem kind of boring. Like, Cloud's just like, ugh, I'm an angry soldier dude that defected, now I'm a mercenary and I got a big-ass sword. And, like, even the Barrick, he's just like, I'm angry the whole time and at you specifically for no reason.
Well, because he's mad because he was, like, a soldier guy and he keeps creeping. I don't know. You know, but
like, get over it. You paid the dude. If you didn't like the dude, why'd you pay the dude, you know?
All right, Eric, we'll see. I'm sort of holding out that, you know, you'll get into it, because obviously every Final Fantasy game is different, right? No, they don't take place like in the same world or anything. Yeah. And they all have different lore and stuff, and I feel like someday, you know, you'll find one.
No, probably not. I've never been interested in getting into Final Fantasy, and I don't think it's gonna start now just because they have a pretty game out.
You should play 15. There's I feel like Ignis is kind of a you guy. He's very into cooking. He's like, you know, I mean, that's his thing. He's kind of the cook. You know, you always go around the fire. Ignis is like making the soup.
It's because there's one character I can relate to. I'm going to get into a whole like 20, 30 hour game.
There's a cool car you drive around in. It's really good.
You're not really selling this for me. You know?
Noctis apparates like swords out of midair, Eric.
Okay, cool.
That's his powers. He can just create
Why
swords.
Why would I just watch an anime then if I'm going to play these?
Because, you know, it's an active medium. You want to get in there and play for yourself.
Sometimes I don't like being active, though, you know? Sometimes yeah. I like just sitting and watching the images move past my eyes.
That is fair.
While
that
I'm
fair.
Glazed over.
Well, I'm personally very excited. I think I am curious to see, because like I said, Midgar is not, and everyone's sort of noted this already, right? Midgar is not an insane portion of Final Fantasy VII. I'd say it's like, I don't even know if it's the first third, right? Yeah. I remember getting through it in like maybe 5 hours.
Have they said how many parts this is going to be?
No, okay. But they did say this game specifically is going to be like 30 hours.
Yeah.
But they also said that it pretty much just takes place in Midgar. But we don't know if that's true, and I don't know how they're going to do it. They must have added a bunch of content. I hope it's not just like a bunch of filler content.
Well, they have taken 20 years to make this game.
Yeah, right? This thing has been in production for whatever, my whole life.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Yeah, I guess that's all I have to say about the demo. I think that it was a good taste. I felt like I got in there and I understood kind of the way the combat worked, and I felt really intrigued for, you know, the story stuff, even though I kind of know what's coming for a little bit of it. I thought this was really dope. I was really interested. I have seen a lot of people saying like, oh, you know, this sucks. It's not even good combat, or, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I would say that, you know, Final Fantasy VII does exist and you can play it. And I think that they are trying to modernize this for people who maybe that first game isn't for.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I'd say so.
Which I think is good. I'm interested in that. Anyways, Eric, should we move on?
Sure.
We're going to move into the hot topic section of the show, and I want to talk about the PlayStation 2. It is the 20th anniversary of the PlayStation 2, Eric. It came out, I was 2 years old. You know what I mean?
I would have been 3.
And actually at the time I would have been almost 2 years old.
So I would have been 3.
Yeah. anyways, and I want to talk about just the things you remember from the PS2, maybe some iconic moments for you that involve PS2, and also the PS2 games that you remember the most.
So the PS2, I'd say, was our second console after the GameCube, like the second real console. We had just like a PS1, I think, but like it was run down and beat up and didn't work very well. Played a lot of Contra on that. But then we got GameCube for Christmas 1 year, and then I think a year or two after that, my brother bought a PS2. And I think the PS2, well, yeah, by far the PS2 is I have the most physical games on, because PS3, halfway through, I started just buying everything digitally. But yeah, I have all those games still. We just have a collection of all these PS2 games, because I never traded in, did the GameStop thing. And so we just have all these PS2 games, and we got the PS2 Slim, which I always thought was the way cooler looking PS2, because it's just this little tiny boy. And we played just a ton of things on it, basically. It was mostly my brother's console, because he bought it, and then like he was older at the time, and like he bought all the games and stuff. And like we'd go halves on games sometimes, because... I would have probably been like 8 or 9.
How were you making money back then?
Hustling? I walked dogs.
Really?
Yeah. And I made some good fucking money doing that. Yeah, I've been working since I've been young. very long time.
No one in Nacita was going to pay me to walk their dogs.
Oh, yeah. yeah, I was walking dogs, and then I'd help my dad move furniture and stuff for like when like he needs to do deliveries and stuff. And so I'd make money that way, too. But then, yeah, I would literally just save that money to buy games. And so my brother would always we'd buy these games, and we'd often get 2-player games. So, we'd get the Dragon Ball Z games, the Tenkaichi games.
Yeah.
We bought, there's a lot of them that were on GameCube, but at a certain point they had stopped coming for GameCube. I think Dragon Ball Budokai 3 was the last one on GameCube, but then the rest of them were the Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tenkaichi games started coming to PS2, and so we bought that all those. So I think it goes all the way up to Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tenkaichi 5 or 4, maybe. I don't remember.
And so you played a lot of those.
A lot of those, and there's also Godzilla games. We played a ton of those.
Really? I'd never even heard of those ones.
There was one for game. Here's the thing is, with PS2, it's very synonymous with GameCube to me. And so a lot of these things, we started with GameCube, but then like they stopped going to GameCube and going to PS2.
What are you doing? Are you fighting each other in the Godzilla games?
Yes, you fight
like
each
Godzilla
other.
Versus Mothra or whatever?
Yeah, pretty much. Exactly. Okay. And they're sweet. They're awesome games. I love them. But I can't remember. It's like Godzilla Saves the World, I think, is the one that's on PS2. I can't remember what the one is for GameCube, but that one was the best one, which for some reason we gave that one back to GameStop for, I don't know why, when that was like one of our favorite games to play. I don't know why we gave that one. I think it's because the new one was coming out for PS2 and we thought that one was going to be better, and then it ended up not being better, which was unfortunate. We played a lot of that, and then my brother goes to college or whatever. We get a, I don't know. It's hard to remember. I think a PS3 comes out somewhere in this timeline. There's a lot of games.
I feel like the PS3 probably would have been out by the time your brother went to college.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And then that will be a time when I go back and play a lot of the PS2 games, like the single player PS2 games I miss, like Jack and Dexter.
I was going to ask, was your brother in this time like also playing games by himself? Like buying
games?
Yeah,
so this is when he would have been,
play with him.
This is when he would have got Shadow of the Colossus and played through Shadow of the Colossus. This is when he was going through God of War, because that's why he bought a PS2, was to play God of War.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And so, yeah, this is when he's going through God of War.
Was little Eric like, I want to play? And he was like, no, get the fuck out of here, Eric.
Oh, no, I was just watching. And that here, this is kind of a funny story, too. And so, obviously, I was very young at this time, couldn't buy rated M games.
Yep.
My brother, I guess, would have been 18 at this point because he was buying God of War.
How much older is your brother than you?
He's 7 years older than
me. Oh, okay. I don't know why. I thought you guys were closer than that. So, I'm like, this doesn't line up in my head. But, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, he's buying these things. And so, I really wanted the Mortal Kombat Armageddon, because Mortal Kombat Armageddon has one of the sickest opening like cinematics ever. Like we could watch it.
I feel like I own that game, but I don't really remember what it was.
I'll show it to you. It's sweet, because it's literally all the Mortal Kombat characters fighting each other, running towards this pyramid to get to the top of the pyramid to fight one of the lamest fucking evil villain names ever, Blaze, so they could get the ultimate power and could become an elder god. Mortal Kombat aside, I really wanted this game, and it came in this 3-pack with Mortal Kombat Deadly Alliance, Mortal Kombat Shaolin Monks, and Mortal Kombat Armageddon. I'm not 18 at this point. My mom doesn't want me to buy this game because she sees this opening trailer and it is hyper violent. But my brother does it. He hooks me up, you know, and he hooks me up and he's like, just don't play it in front of our mom. And I'm an idiot kid at this point. And I'm just playing it upstairs in our living room, going through I'm going through Shaolin Monks, and there's a cutscene. And of course, my mom decides to come up during this cutscene. All the other cutscenes, perfectly fine. But she comes up during this cutscene as Katana talking to Jade. And in those games, Katana, you know, like the older Mortal Kombat's, Katana and Jade wearing no clothes.
Yeah.
They're just like cloths covering their titties and vajayjays, you know? And like, my mom, of course, comes up during this scene and she's like, what's this game rated? I'm like, it's rated M. Or no, I'm like, it's rated T. I lie at this point because I don't want to get my brother in trouble. I'm like, it's rated T. And she's like, yeah, is it? I'm like, yeah, totally. My brother comes out and he's pissed. And he's like, you can't play these games like again.
Oh, because you got him in trouble?
Because I got him in trouble, yeah. I go through it and I still play them.
You want to know what's funny? I have a distinct memory of playing one of the Mortal Kombat games. I feel like it was Armageddon, because the story of that game was like you make your own character, kind of, right? Was that the one?
No, you don't make your own character in that one. You play as like a new character for that, and you go through. You're like a half elder god.
Yeah.
You have to go through.
So, anyways, it might have been that one. And I remember
you can make your own characters in that game.
I never got past the opening because you had to do the tutorial, and I was a dumb kid, and I couldn't pull off any of the weird combos.
Yeah.
So I never played that part. But I think that was the game that had Mortal Kombat like chess.
It might
and,
be, yeah.
And that's all I played. I only played Mortal Kombat Chess.
Yeah, it might be that game, because that game has, like, everything in it, so like, that's the point of it.
And I had a ton of fun playing Mortal Kombat Chess, Eric.
Mm.
I wish that they would do random shit like that in the games,
yeah,
though. I want Mortal Kombat Chess to come back.
I feel like that is a really old, like, thing, because, like, now you could, like, DLC and patch stuff in or whatever, but, like, then it's like, let's just throw a bunch of random shit in this game, and then they get what they get, and
yeah,
they can play it.
And so I never actually played, like, the real game or even really did any of the fights. I only played chess.
Yeah. I mean, Mortal Kombat Armageddon gets very, very hard toward the end of the game, and I'm very impressed that I could beat it.
So, you know, I've never been a pro gamer or anything like that, but
haven't really.
No. So the PS2 was kind of my first console. My brother had one. He had one of the big PS2s and he played GTA 3, I feel like, exclusively. And so I would come in and he would give me a controller and I'd pretend I was playing or whatever. I was a young kid. Or Or, you know, he would let me play and I'd go around and kill old people and all that good stuff. But other than that, we didn't really play games together or anything like that. And sometimes he'd be in the room playing games with his friends and stuff. And then the thing I'd do is I'd sit down in front of the door and just kick the door until he opened it. Cause I was like, let me in or what, you know, all that good stuff. And then my mom bought me a Game Boy Color and I basically left him alone cause I was playing Pokemon.
Yeah.
And you know, as I've said many times, just restarting that game a whole shit ton of times cause I didn't know how to save.
Yep.
And so I finally at some point got my own PS2. And this was right around the time I became friends with my friend Adam, who has been on the show. I still talk to you. And Adam and I feel like the PS2 is very synonymous with my friendship with Adam to me. We played so many games together, most famously Fantastic Four, the movie tie-in. Mm-hmm. and we played a fuck ton of that game. And it's just kind of this, like, you know, multiplayer beat 'em up kind of thing where it's top down and you go through and do all the good stuff. And we got really far and almost beat it. And then Adam deleted the save, as I've said many times. Very upsetting.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I remember him playing. Sometimes I'd go to his house and we'd kind of play games together and I'd like watch him play certain games. And I remember him playing a game called like iNinja. And Adam actually recently told me he went back and beat it. And that game was super cool. We played a ton of Rampage Total Destruction. You ever play that one?
I've never played that one.
So it's just a game that's like about, you know, they made that movie recently. Yeah. It's just big mutated animals, big wolf, big ape or whatever, big crocodile. And the whole point is to like get as many points as you can by like destroying buildings and stuff and like killing people. And it's quite fun.
Yeah.
We had a good time playing that game. I'm trying to think. And then, you know, I started playing stuff by myself. Most iconically, Eric, probably. This is one of my favorite PS2 games ever. I think I played it probably the most out of any games ever. Not any games ever, but any PS2 game. Tony Hawk's Underground 2. I played so much Tony Hawk's Underground 2. It's just this open world, you know, Bam Margera's in it. He's like, go do all these things for me. You know, and you go and you do all these like crazy, like, you know, grind all this on this rail with a fucking mascot head on or whatever. And you're doing all this crazy kind of stuff. And it was so fun, dude. I had a great time playing Underground 2. And then, you know, there was I remember in that game too, there were like multiplayer modes that were like mark your territory or something like that. And so you'd kind of do split screen and you'd both be trying to do tricks on different parts of the map so that map would kind of, it was kind of like Splatoon almost, where you're kind of trying to do as many tricks on as many different things as possible to like claim them. And, you know, then the rail would turn red, so it's yours. And then when he goes over it, it's blue. And so it's, you know, it's basically Splatoon. You're trying to get as many as you can. And it was so fun, dude. I loved Underground 2. Damn. Such a good game.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a great soundtrack. Again, I was actually listening to it a little bit before we started. And I'm like, this is just iconic to me. And I never skated. I never once skated, Eric. I bought a longboard a couple years back. I could not even ride that thing at all.
My brother did get a skateboard, and then he immediately gave up on trying to learn how to do it, and then I tried to do it, and then I immediately also gave up.
Yeah, it's hard.
I'm not good at things I can't hold on to.
Yeah, know? It turns out it's really hard.
I just went back to my scooter.
Also, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. Played that game so much. I never beat it, but I never really was doing any of the like missions or anything. I remember just looking up cheat codes all the time and like doing random cheats, you know, spawning a tank,
yeah,
God mode, you know, infinite money, all that good stuff. So that was fantastic. And finally, another thing that Adam and I did a lot was we would play shooters and we would play them 1v1 like against each other in the maps, you know what I mean, and just like do sniper battles and stuff. And mainly we were playing the Medal of Honor games. And I remember playing, like, a lot of them, but I think European Assault was the one that we played, like, the most. And it was, dude, I just remember having such a good time where it was, like, you know, you'd fight each other because you were screen cheating and all that good stuff. Like, that was kind of the thing we were doing. And, God, it was such a great time. PS2, great console. But it's weird because Xbox 360 was kind of, like, I don't know what you want to call it, like, my gamer console, you know what I mean?
When you evolved.
Yeah, when I evolved into gamer Logan, because I was playing games, you know, with stories and all that stuff, and it just wasn't, like, it became, like, a real thing for me then, whereas PlayStation 2 was, like, I was playing the PlayStation 2 a lot, but I guess it never felt, like, an important thing to me, you know what I mean? It was always just, like, oh, I'm hanging out with Adam, we're doing some random shit or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I never even really was like, I want to, you know, beat this story or beat this game. It was always like, I want to hang out with my friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I guess that's a lot of the iconic games, Eric. I do have an iconic story to tell about a PlayStation 2. So I was an anxious kid, as I am an anxious adult. And I one of the things is I hated, I couldn't stay anywhere, right? Like without, I didn't like to stay anywhere but my house. I would, you know, if I tried to stay at my friend's house, I'd usually call my mom and like tell her to pick me up, right? Cause I was a dumb little anxious kid. And one time, my brother Brandon, he lives in Iowa. He's like fucking 15 years older than I am. You know what I mean? He had a daughter who was like 2 years older than 2 years younger than I was. And he came to visit, and then him and his then wife were like, "Well, Logan, do you want to come visit, you know, us for a week?" And I was anxious, but I was like, "Yeah, I want to hang out with my brother. Sure, I'll go for a week." And it was sort of fun for a second. And we got there, and he had a PlayStation 2, and he had Jack. I'm gonna say 3. I think it was Jack 3.
I'm pretty sure it was 3.
And he's, you know, he was like, "Oh, Logan, you can play this," and it was great. I had a video game, keep myself not anxious, and, you know, just stay there.
Distracted.
And so I'm playing Jack 3 a ton, right? And I'm there for maybe a day and a half. And, you know, maybe it's 2 days. It's like the morning of the second day. Or the third day or whatever. And I'm in my brother Brandon's room, and I'm playing Jack 3, and my other brother Chase is there. Well, I think he came with me because he was like, "Well, Logan's a little idiot. I'm gonna have to like keep him from crying or whatever."
Yeah.
Because I'm like 10 years old or something, dude. And I'm playing Jack, and my brother and his wife are making breakfast. And all of a sudden they rush in. They say, "There's a fire. We need to leave." And I'm like playing Jack, and I'm a little 10-year-old, and I'm like, no, we have to save, like, we have to bring the PlayStation. Like, Logan, we don't have time. We need to, like, the house is on fire. We need to leave. They started a grease fire, and they didn't know how to put it out, and so it was, you know, getting bigger. And I was so adamant, dude. I think I started crying. I'm like, "No, it's a PlayStation 2. And then, you know, we left, and we had to wake up my other brother, Chase, who's this notoriously, like, heavy sleeper, dude. It was always on Christmas days and stuff. I would always, like, go, like, literally jump on him to try to wake him up. And he was always, like, just like, "Oh, get the hell out of here." And we're like, "The house is literally on fire. We need to go." And he's like, you know, not really awake. And so we, like, drag him out. And the firefighters come, and, you know, they stop the fire. And I actually had to call my mom because I couldn't remember. You know how when things are little, you're like, "I don't really know how the story ended." I just remember being very upset about the PlayStation, and I couldn't remember if the PlayStation survived or not. And the firefighter stopped the fire, and the PlayStation was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the story. And I think
apparently too, overhearing, you were like, "The house burned down," and then your mom's like, "No, their kitchen got like scorched."
Well, here's the thing: we couldn't stay there. I remember we ended up having to stay.
Well, yeah, because the kitchen was scorched. Can't go in and spend time there.
It's, yeah,
all smoky.
Well, that's why I thought it burned down.
Yeah,
but yeah, the kitchen was burned down, and the firefighters did save the PlayStation too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the moral of the story.
Thank your fire.
Maybe that was my real gamer awakening, because I felt so attached to this PlayStation that
you're
really
willing to give your life.
I was literally like, "I don't want to leave this."
Yeah, it's more important in my life to get Jack 2 or 3.
Yeah, so anyways, if you're cooking bacon and there's a grease fire, don't pour water on it.
Yeah, PSA, I'm not a fireman, but I still have worked with the fire for a very long time now. If you have a grease fire, just shut off the stove and put a lid on it, and it will snuff it out. And then if it doesn't, immediately call 911. Also, if you're just inexperienced, just call 911 right away. They will get there very quickly. They're fast. That's their whole point.
Eric, do you have anything else to say about the PlayStation 2? I've been thinking a lot about PlayStation 2 games and how many I didn't play,
mm-hmm.
and how many I'd like to go back and play. And I've just been thinking a lot about retro games recently.
I was kind of thinking while we were having this conversation, it would be a lot of work, but I'd love to go back and try to figure out chronologically the games I've... Oh, like all the games I've played.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds impossible.
It doesn't sound impossible. It only sounds impossible for the games like I don't have anymore. Because in the beginning, it'd be very easy because I have all the physical games.
Okay. Well, yeah, and it'd be by release date, but you don't know when you got them.
Yeah. That's the hard part, is I don't know when I got them, but I'm pretty sure I could remember when I played them.
Even thinking about the games that I used to play and stuff, I got so confused about when I played them and when they came out or anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because like while we were doing this, I was like, "Oh yeah, I didn't play Jack 2 and 3 until I had a PS3, and my friend just gave me them. And he's like, "You should play these. They're really good." Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, "Oh, I'll go back and play these on PS2. I'm like, "These are really good." But I had like a PS3 at this point too. So it's like, I'd even play those when we just had a PS2. I'm also thinking of like, before I had a PS3, my friend had an Xbox 360, and he got Spider-Man. What's the shadow one? Spider-Man.
Master of Shadows or something like that?
Yeah.
So is it the one with all the different Spider-Mans on it?
No, that one's like the time one. The one where you could like switch between Venom and him.
I know what you're talking about though.
Yeah, and like you could put on the symbiote suit, and like it has Wolverine and Luke Cage in it and stuff, and you fight them. But like he had that on Xbox 360, and I went over to his house and we played it a ton. I'm like, "Man, this game's sick. I want this game." And I looked it up and it has a PS2 version. I'm like, "Oh hell yeah, I'm gonna play this on PS2. The PS2 version, entirely different game. It is a 2D side scroller. and you play and you go through and you play as Venom and Spider-Man in like a 2D world, and it is not open world 3D at all. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the biggest disappointments of my fucking life.
The reason you can keep talking here, I'm gonna try to find this game quick. I don't know if it's gonna go that well.
I could probably just do it. Spider-Man
Shadow or something.
Yeah, Shadow.
Not
Shattered Dimensions. Web of Shadows.
Web of Shadows. Okay, Web of Shadows. Oh, this does look cool. I do remember seeing
this. Like, the PS2 version is just a completely different game.
That's
the first time I realized marketing companies lie to me.
my life was a lot of playing, like, Game Boy and, like, DS games that were sort of like partnered with actual other like PS2 more expensive games, and the DS or like the Game Boy games being just like so much worse than the actual, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I remember there was like a Spider-Man game that was like there was like a PS2 game, and then there was like the Game Boy version or whatever, which was like absolute trash.
Mm-hmm. Also, a good Spider-Man game on the PS2 would have been it was like, it had a comic booky art style. Shoot, I can't remember what it was called, but you could also play as Venom in that one. Spider-Man PS.
I remember Adam always playing Spider-Man 2, and that being like, he was like, this is my favorite game.
That is a very good game. I play that one on GameCube, though. Ultimate Spider-Man. That one's really good. It has like a very comic booky art style and mm-hmm. stuff, and you fight, like, there's like a lot of good boss fights, and you could switch between playing as Peter Parker and Venom. That one's very good.
Dang. Eric, we're gonna figure it out, but I want to play some retro games soon, dude.
Yeah, we can.
Because in the nature of the show, we can kind of just play whatever we want and talk about it, and yeah. So I think we should start playing some older games.
Yeah, we could. I'm playing Shadow of the Colossus right now.
Hell yeah.
But that's a remake. But it is an older game. Man, I love it. What a good game. But great. Everyone play Shadow of the Colossus.
Everyone go, yeah, it's on PS4. Great version,
on
I think.
PS Plus right now, if you have PlayStation Plus, which I don't know why you wouldn't. I think you kind of have to have it now at this point.
Anyways, this has been the Generic Gaming Podcast.mp3. Thank you so much for listening. Please come back next week on the show. We are going to play the demo for part one of the remake of this show. Anyways, we love you, unless you suck, in which case we don't, and you should probably work on that. Have a good one.